Welcome, everybody, to episode 111 of the You Can't Comp This NBA podcast. I am your co-host, Russell Gibson. We're here with Adam, Amy, Carl, and also Paris from the Codex Boys this week. So we're actually having a crossover episode. This is part two. If you did miss part one, go back to episode 110 before you listen to this, because as our last couple of conversations have been with the boys, they've been a little bit of a long one, so I've split this up into two episodes. So definitely check out the first episode of this before you jump into it. Just a little bit of background, the Codex lads are from New Zealand. They're making original content on a very regular basis. They don't just do NBA though, they do pop culture movies and other sports in addition to NBA. This episode is basically focused around a project that Carl has been working on about his collectability ranker. So he came up with a scoring system where we put in points for desirability, current form, all-time achievements, potential, and then it went into a type of algorithm or point system, and then a top 50 NBA players was created. So it's only for current NBA players. It's not for past NBA players. I think this is a really fun exercise, and it's, you know, kudos to Carl for putting all the hard work into it. So we're basically just going through it and breaking it down and highlighting some of the things we thought was, you know, surprising, either people too high or too low, or, and, you know, how you can use this data to push your collecting, maybe form some of your views on pricing, things like that. So definitely worth a listen. And we're nearly there, guys. We're nearly there to the start of the new season. So that's just, you know, fantastic news. Less than a week away from this time of recording. So preseason's actually been pretty fun, pretty competitive. But in saying that, you know, it's not as good as a real live ball NBA regular season game. I'm looking forward to it. Shout outs for this week. Pretty short little list, but the big one, and I think the first one we need to mention, is EJ Cards Trader Day. Sunday, October 22nd is the October trade day for EJ Cards designated kids trading zone, which is staff supervised, free drinks and snacks all day. The return of Carsten's monster Halloween mystery box, which is perfect timing for Halloween. NBA mystery boxes, NFL mystery boxes, discounted singles, live openings. Check out the guys from EJ Cards. Shop 3, 2 to 4 Whitehorse Road in Blackburn, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. So very flexible day. There's no excuse not to be able to get down for an hour or so. The other big one for us to announce is the Hobby Hangout. So trading card show, 19th of November. So still a little way away, at the Melbourne Pavilion, 135 to 157 Racehorse Road in Kensington. A fair few tables lined up, speakers lined up. Darcy from Palms Off Gaming, Doma and Source from Double Coverage, Omar of 1&1 Memorabilia Cards, Matthew Payne is the host, Trident Collectibles is breaking, Neon Trading Cards is breaking. We'll be podcasting live, so Adam and I are very excited about this. Heaps of stalls, Big Three Collectibles, Eastside Collectibles, Hobby Australia Card and Collectibles, Card Lab, Gogi Collectibles, Feisty Lizard, EJ Cards will be there. I'm sure Cherry will be there. I'm not going to read down the list too much. The boys from Fast Break should be there. Check it out. Mercury's going to be there. They've previously been on the show. Neon Trading Cards. So yeah, definitely check it out, guys. Get your tickets. TheHobbyHangout, all one word, .com.au. Or you can just go onto Google and Google The Hobby Hangout in Melbourne, and the tickets for OzTix will come up on that link there. Without further ado, let's get into this episode. Enjoy it.
Russ, into the 20s now. Who are you sort of looking at here? I mean, there's that big, long French guy right in the middle of the pack there. He debuts at 24.
Yeah. Can I just give some numbers on Lillard for 2 seconds before we move on? Is that okay? Yeah. So his last three PSA 10 sales are 2,190, 2,250, 1,860, and then his last sale was a flat 2,000. So
this is the iconic 2012-13 Prism set. So there's that bump from that too, being part of that set.
The low pop gives it the bump, yeah.
Population of 40 on that one too. So, and, you know,
if he explode, then the spike will be big because there's a low pop.
We were just talking about markets before. I wonder if that card sort of sits in a funny spot where you're not going to attract the super high-end guys who are, you know, buying $5,000, $10,000 cards, but then...
Mm.
he's not quite popular enough to sort of get all the popular attention. And also, it's just a little bit too high for a regular collector to jump in and grab that.
It's a funny range.
It's an awkward spot,
yeah.
That's a good point.
Maybe that's where he, that's his sort of,
that's just his ceiling. The base, that's
his,
right?
Yeah, that's his basement. That's his ceiling, all in the sort of the one sentence, you know? So, I don't know. For me, that's a very
the jury's out. It's a but it probably warrants that 30 spot then. Do you know what I mean? Like you're like, oh, it's got the potential to do a couple of things, but small market. That's why there are different factors, I guess, and different weightings.
Exactly, and this is what this sort of ranking sort of been
makes for good discussion.
At.
Yeah,
it does. It does.
I think he's a small market guy anyway. You know, to be honest, he's pretty homely anyway, and you know, pretty safe. So I don't think he's I think sort of like what Russ was saying before, that's probably his spot. I think across the board, I think his skills probably outweigh his hobby love, but I think that's kind of where he is.
So what if he got traded to the Lakers, for example? How much of a bump would he just get from that?
Like I would say 50% of that price.
Yeah,
it'd go up a lot, right? Right.
In the first 2 weeks, before he touches, before he walks out on the court.
Yeah. So that just shows you the difference. Like Milwaukee has just as much of a chance to win the championship as the Lakers, but the Lakers factor plays into it quite very much. Yeah.
And it is. You've got, I guess you call it the big two, like the Celtics and Lakers.
But there's just so many people in LA that don't know anything about basketball that are basketball fans.
True. They go for the Clippers, though.
Yeah, they're the educated ones. But you know what I mean? I mean,
I get it.
It's such a, but it's that's such a big the, part of the city.
It's the Hollywood hype train.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
So we're looking at it in the 20s, guys.
Quick fire 29 to 20. I'm immediately eliminating Bam, Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Green, Pascal Siakam, Austin Reeves. Like that to me, it's just too hot to handle. Not touching Victor Wembanyama, same thing. It's just like when Zion and Ja came out, like those were just like too hot for me to touch.
Mm-hmm.
Ingram is what he is. I'm not touching that. Now, these next three is where for me, I just start to get all juicy. So Halliburton, I love this kid so much. Chet Holmgren, that game that I watched today, I actually want to like sort of, when I go to sleep tonight, I want to rewatch that game. that Chet first quarter was just sick. Like he is a real competitor. And then to top it up is Paolo Banchero. I think the skill that this guy has, where he was picked on the draft board, his body, his commitment to the game is all there, and no one cares. And so
too high, you sort of think?
No, I think that people are sleeping on this guy. Like if I had him at number 9 where Jimmy Butler is, I would feel totally fine with that. And look, I watched a lot of Orlando last year, so again, like I'm pretty biased in this space, but I just think
I didn't watch any, so I haven't got enough of an opinion on.
He's just so skilled. It's almost, you know, not fair. The other story about this guy too is he's still growing, like, into his body, but also like, you know, growing taller. So he played power forward mostly last year. He actually played center for Team USA, and I wonder if he'll play more center in the NBA this year, and if he does, that just makes the team so much faster and, you know, more adaptable, and that sort of Toronto Raptors style of basketball where everyone just sort of plays, you know, unilaterally. I love that type of play. So
he reminds me of Chris Webber, but a bit taller and a bit stronger, but he's got that pass. He can pass on the high post, sort of, you know,
and he hasn't sold himself out to bookies yet, so you know, like that's also another good thing about Banchero.
Yeah. If you want, go back and watch some C Web clips and then look at Banchero, he's got a similar type game.
Yeah. Is he calling on timeouts? No.
At the wrong time? No.
Yeah, that's a really fun list though. Definitely, like there's so much, you know, talent and potential there. But if you have to narrow it down and you know, a gun to my head, I would actually pick Banchero out of that list.
I like Halliburton there.
Yeah, okay.
Interesting.
All right, tell us why, man, because, you know.
Primary ball handler.
Yeah.
Team USA, can light it up, and a really good guy. Like, he's on a lot of podcasts and stuff, and he gets his name. He's not, like, at the forefront of NBA guys, but if you know the NBA and you're a bit more involved, everyone knows Halliburton.
He's intelligent. He's well spoken.
Mm.
Yeah.
He's around a lot of places.
He was actually one of the surprise ones when I was playing NBA 2K this year.
Yeah.
Like that he was part of the game, like as far as like a character to interact with.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Okay.
And I think he's on the rise. I think the Pacers are on the right path to actually, they could make the playoffs this year.
I think as far as league awareness, like player awareness, like his time in the spotlight is important.
For sure.
And doing the stuff being in social media, doing video game, like console games and just being part of the greater picture and building a brand for himself does give him more of a hobby profile.
Exactly. That's why he's 22 and Kawhi Leonard is 39.
Yep. And Westbrook's 50. Yep.
Yeah, so no, I like Halliburton. He's on the rise for me.
Yep.
Yeah. I've got no problems with that at all, man, honestly.
On this list, I feel sorry for Brandon Ingram because hobby-wise, he was the number two pick for the Lakers. So instantly, hobby-wise, he started at this ridiculous ceiling that was almost unattainable.
Mm.
Like he was overpriced from day one. So it was never like they weren't really gauging him. They were comping him to Durant and I don't know. It was he really didn't get an opportunity to prove himself as a player until he was traded away.
Yeah,
but then his hobby value about that just too, plummeted. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Like looking back how you put it there. Yeah, Lakers, you know, the best thing to land on
to be
in the spotlight. Number two. I suppose it was the timing. It was sort of before the big boom in the hobby. And also that draft wasn't as good. The Lakers weren't very good.
The Lakers were in struggle town post Kobe's sort of end.
Yeah. So
It was that weird time for the Lakers because they were just before they got LeBron and then obviously he was part of the house cleaning to get AD. So I just think it was unfair hobby. Like he was sort of dealt a bad hand hobby wise, because I think he would have been someone to sort of watch if he wasn't sort of prospected like at such a high level early. Like he would have been fun to see how his hobby value sort of rolled out.
Yeah, maybe like being 23 on this list, you can sort of compare his prices and go, look, he's pretty reasonably priced here. And he's still got heaps of potential. He's still quite young.
He's a good player. He's a really good player. Someone else that suffered the same fate as him is not on this list, deservedly not on this list, Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, just the major injuries, right?
He's cooked. There's stories coming out that he can't really walk that good anymore.
Yeah, he started off with a broken jump shot and ended up just with a broken body. It's a sad story. At least LaMelo's not bad.
The old man might get his wish. He might sign a contract with Charlotte maybe next season. Get them all on there, LiAngelo.
Oh,
too.
Goodness.
So here's one for you, lads. Silver Brandon Ingram PSA 10 rookie, $132.
Low. It'll be lowish pop too.
$199.
Ooh.
So there's a decent buy, I think.
That's literally the lowest it's been almost for the lifetime of that card too.
Yeah.
Get in. Pelicans have a good year.
It's not the worst thing to take a gamble on, to be honest.
Well, I was actually looking at Bam as far as people on this list and his pop count is 535. So Brandon Ingram's not too bad at all.
Well, that's quite a lot more than him, yeah.
Mm.
My thing about Bam though is that it's not his skill, it's not how good he is, it's not even his personality. He's just not that collected.
Do you reckon that would be different if Miami had actually won a couple of titles?
Maybe, but just I've got a little bit of Bam that I'm sitting on, but it just doesn't move. It just kind of sits there and if anything, it's probably trickled down. You know?
A big guy who doesn't look to score. That's what that is.
Yeah.
He's a great basketball player. He plays the awesome right way. Yeah. But just, you know.
Interesting. We've got a couple of those though on this list.
Definitely.
Coming up on one.
Paris.
I think it's funny. We didn't even mention Trae Young or Ja Morant from that last group.
I was thinking about Trae, and I think Ja's just too scary to touch, really, at the moment.
Mm.
What were you thinking about them, Paris, when you mentioned those squads?
Well, I mean, you only have to go back in a time machine a very small amount of time when those, well, maybe not as much Trey, obviously, but Jar, you know, it's just amazing what a consistent period of stupid incidents will do for a person. But I mean, you know, Trey is, you know, a great player, but he's just, there was so many people vying for attention at that time that he's just kind of fallen off the side. You know, still
think Jar will fall off enough. I think there are too many hopefuls out there.
Yeah. I'm and he's flashy. Yeah. He's a bit shorter, sky high dunks, all those really impressive things. He's got a lot of great looking cards, you know, as well. Where Trey, you know, doesn't, he probably needs to sort out his hair. I don't know.
You jump in that time machine, you go back a couple of seasons, and Atlanta had all of this potential. Mm. They were looking good
in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then it just fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
Villain Trey at Madison Square Garden, giving them shit. That's what we all wanted to see, man. Correct. It's like Trey. That's what I want
to
see.
He needs to go to the dark side.
Yes.
Like he needs to embrace it too.
He needs to go heel and just be an absolute piece.
Absolute heel. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will buy some cards if he goes absolutely hell.
So what's two reasons to be optimistic about Trae Young going to this year? Because there's two really big ones for me.
Go for it, Russ, because I don't think I have.
New hairstyle? I don't know.
Yeah.
Hair transplants. Yep.
So the word was that the chemistry of that team wasn't fantastic last year. And part of that was the dynamic between him and John Collins. So essentially, if you believe that there was a power struggle in Atlanta between Trae Young and John Collins, the victor was Trae Young, because now John Collins is in Utah with Lauri Markkanen. So they're going to have a pretty sick front court. So for me, this now means that he won. And if anything, the offense is going to be more now reliant on him to make everything work. And actually, I've got no problems with that, because I think he's an excellent playmaker. And I think he's got enough of an engine to actually drive a team through a game. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think every player in the league can actually generate offense for 35 minutes a game. Like, it's actually quite a difficult thing to do. So that's one reason for me to be optimistic about it. And the second thing is, I think with his personality type, I think he is like a plucky little bugger that he's like got a little bit of little man syndrome against the world. So I think that will actually, you know, play into that. And everyone's written the Hawks off. There's always one surprise team per year that, you know, people overlook, and
They could do it again. They've done it once, they can do it again.
Yeah.
I'm creating
my own segue now. I think one thing that I've actually noticed looking at this list, that maybe you almost need an asterisk next to them. So if we look at this list, who are the people that are low and could rise? So, for example, if we look at 50 to 40, like we already said, I said Scottie Barnes. Then the next thing is, I would say Trae Young, I would say Ja Morant, Zion Williamson, be like in that next sort of bracket. And then the next bracket above, like I'm looking at Halliburton to skyrocket and Banchero to move up the list. You know, you guys said Lillard could go up. I wonder if, how can I say this? So even though Ja Morant is lower than Jalen Green, I still think Ja Morant's a better buy.
I agree.
And how I see do you, what you're trying to say. Yeah, how do you grade that?
Almost, how do you delineate?
Or how do you visualize that information on the to show what direction they're heading and where it's heading?
Because by the way, Ja Morant earned his spot at 32. I think that's, if you're ranking it right now, that's correct.
Sure.
But if you're looking ahead to, you know, 3 months or 6 months, like Ja shouldn't be at 32. He probably should be at four. He should be where Josh Giddey is. You know,
will he be playing in 3 months? Probably not. He's out for the first number of
25 games.
25 games. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he misses the first 3 months of the season. So, yeah.
Yeah. He'll be sitting around
two months, I think it is.
Do you reckon he'll pull his guns out at New Year's?
Nah. He's going to go live somewhere.
That's it. On the other side of that coin, Trae Young.
Yeah. Sorry. I segued from a segue.
That's all right. I wanted to just go the other side of the coin.
Yeah, go.
I think the big thing that impacts Trae Young's value and is once again the victim of the pop count. So the Silver Prism lasts off 217, but the pop count on the Silver Prism BSA 10 is 2,317.
Yeah, right.
Like there are 12,000 base cards. It's the it's that year. You know what I mean? Like there's everybody's graded their trays. However, because you know, for those that aren't aware, I absolutely love color matches. The red Ruby Wave, which is unnumbered, has a pop count of 282 and last sold for $155.
I like that. Me as a collector, I love that shit too.
And then I got I've got the red to 299, last sold for 677 with a pop count of 121. That says, wow, that's nearly half of them have come out back as PSA 10s.
Hmm. Those 2 years, 18, 19, 20.
Good quality control.
This is
yeah,
peak,
I mean, he's very
grading as well.
It's easy to get Trey Young cards, right? He's like always, it's people always selling them.
Yeah.
There's a lot around.
So, and I think when they're selling stuff like that, it's those variants that are actually a good buy and aren't often valued as well in the greater community. So there are opportunities there. Like that unnumbered Ruby Ray wave, the pop count's super low on it. Like it's 10% of the silver, but it's half the, like it's almost half the price. Yeah. You go, okay, well, if we're going to see a rise in Trey, grab the red one because it's got some
X factor to it. It looks good, and it looks good.
Correct.
Color match.
I think I just talked myself into buying a Trey, though, at $200 and a guy that's going to have open slather this year.
$200? I reckon you'll be able to pick it up cheaper, too. On the open market, a PSA 10.
The only problem when you look at this roster, though, geez, they're thin up front. Like, if Capella has a month off, what's going to happen? Who's going to be the starting center?
This has been Atlanta's problem, though.
Fernando. Like, geez, that's rough, man.
Yeah, this has been Atlanta's problem, though. They really haven't developed the roster a lot.
Yeah, DeAndre Hunter needs to step up, and Sadiq Bey will probably be in the starting lineup. I'm pessimistic on the Hawks as a whole.
Who's going to start at power forward for them? DeAndre Hunter, is that what you suggest?
Sadiq Bey, I think, will win.
Trey Young's playing everything.
And Hunter alongside him.
Yeah. Trey Young.
Trey at power forward.
Yeah. Right.
Power Trey. That's it. None of this point forward nonsense. We're getting the point guards to play power forward.
Now, you two Aussie boys on. Giddy at 15. Let's talk Giddy at 15.
Hang on, we've just skipped. No, we can't.
Are we
do
up
that.
Into the?
So
up into the
what are we doing? Here? 19 to 10, are we? Okay, yeah. Okay, fine. We can do Giddy. That's fine. I thought you were going to skip Darren Fox. I was going to be like, hang on a second.
You know, we're skipping Fox. We're definitely.
Is there anyone else we wanted to talk about in that 30 to 20 bracket? Because I know you didn't want to touch a lot of it.
Yeah, I'm happy to move on. I don't.
Yeah, think, look, yeah. Look. There's no one there that really. I mean, God, there'll be enough talk about Wembanyama through the whole year, won't it?
Oh, for sure.
Paris, have you got something, mate?
No, I kind of agree. I think Halliburton, Chet, Banchero's an interesting grouping. I think there's a lot of you could see a lot of movement out of those guys.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is also who the NBA chooses to promote as well. You know, we've sort of talked about that as well. That can have massive effects on the hobby.
For sure. Like
Zion Mania, you know, was just NBA.com, ESPN, 80% of the page was Zion. You know, so will they do the same with Wembanyama?
Yeah, hell yeah, well, they will.
Probably.
Yeah, I'd say they will.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
So
if you think about that, so the game that was just on recently, that was Spurs versus OKC. How much in social media did you get to direct you to watch that game?
Quite a bit.
Did you?
Okay. For me, yeah.
I didn't get any. That was what I was about to say.
YouTube recommended the highlights to me.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, maybe I'm wrong then.
Yeah, but I'm getting all the games recommended highlights at the moment. So.
Correct. Yeah. As soon as I finish watching one lot of highlights, the next one pops up.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Actually, I think they're just trying to get us back into it. It's not about the key matchups or anything.
No. Yeah, it was probably more post the game for me, actually, compared to direct me to the game. It was more seeing after they had the battle between him and Chet, there was a lot, everyone was talking about it. So
yeah, because it could have been a fizzer. It could have been a real fizzer. It could have been like Chet made 3 points, got 2 rebounds and was benched. And then Wemby scored 2 points and then Pop wrapped him up in cotton wool. But instead, they actually let them play.
It was
play.
An awesome battle.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, for sure.
So Giddy, Chet's teammate. 15, what? I just want to get your guys' perspective on Giddy, like, across there. Is he at the top? There's been heaps of Aussie NBA players now. Like, is he – where is Giddy on the Aussie ranking of, you know, in the hobby? Is he right up the top?
They're pretty giddy about Giddy.
They're giddy about Giddy.
Yeah. 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 There's a lot of I like him. I'm sort of on a mission to pick up a nice Giddy for a friend of mine for a Christmas present, but I don't want to overpay for it. So, and I'm finding there's a lot of
you guys are paying a premium
hype. There's that Aussie hype.
The Stephen Adams effect, right?
Yeah. Yes. Adams is the guy here for us. Yeah.
Exactly right. This is down here. You overpay for Patty Mills because he's an Aussie.
But I think Giddy's done everything right. He's managed his social media beautifully. Mm-hmm. He's done a lot of donation in terms of time and money to basketball camps and, you know, playing for Team Australia. Like, that goes a long way. And
I watched him a little bit in the FIBA World Cup and still think he's got to be. There was a quarter there where I thought he really showed his potential to be aggressive as a scorer. And that's, I think, the thing that's letting him down at the moment. But
scoring.
But he took that takeover role, which was really interesting.
It is, because he's got the vision and passing of, like, I think of, like, Ricky Rubio in a way.
That's how I see him too, more as a point forward than a scorer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he has shown those flashes of that scoring ability too.
Mm.
So yeah. The dynamic, and he's big.
And he's a rebounder. Like, he gets in there and he attacks he crashes the boards. He, I don't know, maybe he puts on a little bit of weight and he needs to focus on embracing his inner LeBron rather than his inner Rubio.
I mean, if he starts taking step back threes,
that.
You guys are going to be drooling over this.
We're like, Australia's winning the Olympics. We're good. Yeah.
So, I think he's that high because of that thing. Like, the potential there is massive for this dude. Like, he can be all
I think
all
it's the potential of the team. I mean, the thing is, is, you know, you look at SGA, you know.
Chet.
Yeah. I mean, they've got three guys on the list that, you know, there's so many people on that list that you could say one good season, you know, could change a lot. You know, and we were saying earlier before, obviously, the OKC is going to be a very fun, interesting team to watch.
For sure.
And, you know, they're locked in for the next quite a while with some really good players.
So, well, and they've got they've got draft picks coming out of everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yep. Like, you just, like, lift up a seat down there. So, like, there's another draft pick for OKC. Look.
Yeah, I mean, they've got... Yeah,
I got tons.
Lou Dort, Giddy, SGA, Chet.
Jalen Williams looks really good.
Yeah. I think they'll be exciting, but the question is, at what point do they go from exciting to
winning?
Yeah.
I think it could be this year.
Probably fairly soon, I would say.
And the good part about that, or the critical part about that, is OKC need to identify when it's time to pull the trigger. Because there's going to come a time where they need to make a move and just throw those picks into the ring and say, there's someone big that we need.
Yeah, they've got to cash some of them in, right?
Yep.
They can't just keep accumulating them.
Correct.
We're going to have to pay the piper at some point, and there's going to be a lot of people with their hands out.
Yeah. Mm. But the question is who?
There'll be someone.
All right, so hang on. Is there anyone else on this list that if the opportunity rose, you just in an instant just... that, and it's got to be relatively realistic. Like, Paolo, Orlando's never been good at making smart trades. So, what? Orlando wants some more first round picks? Do they get rid of Paolo?
I think they're hanging on to Paolo.
Yeah.
I can't see them getting rid
of
him.
Does he get unhappy and want out?
I think a guy like we were talking about Brandon Ingram before, I think that's the type of guy that OKC might go for.
If the Timberwolves implode, does Anthony Edwards demand a trade?
Possible. I mean, Cat is the guy that they target.
Yeah, Chet, like, snaps in half and they go, stuff it, let's go and get Cat.
Yeah.
They've already failed that experiment once, but.
Yeah. But Chet's good enough to sort of defend on the perimeter, whereas Cat's gets caught up. So he can be the more traditional center on defense, at least.
In this hypothetical situation, I think Cat as a five and Chet as a four would be actually quite fine.
That so, might be, they go from entertaining to scary, I think.
If I mean, they could just dangle one pick out there, surely. I mean, Cat's going to be available soon, I think.
Mm.
So maybe they, I mean, Presti's the ultimate master of doing trades. So
true.
He'll probably get him at a good price. So, yeah, I mean, something like that I see as the guy, a sort of veteran who's been around a while, maybe a bit undervalued or not in the right situation. Presti pulls the trigger on something like that, like a Siakam, you know, like, okay, Toronto's sort of going nowhere. Let's see if I can throw out a couple of picks here for Siakam. Something like that.
Mm.
That's how I sort of see that going down. The sort of piece just to raise up the whole level of that Thunder squad. A good vet.
Yeah. They've got the sort of ability to do that as well. I mean, because they've got a good team and they've got a lot of picks. So they can kind of just wait for everyone else to fall.
As much as I laugh about it, what happens if Luka gets upset in Dallas?
We have a new sponsor supporting the show. It is The Bang Man, who is a new startup and have been operating since June this year, delivering a variety of hobby packs in a single box at an affordable price. So far, they've delivered some huge hits. The biggest one they've pulled so far is a Steph Curry Signatures Gold Auto to 10, which came out of the July edition. Some comps have been rounded up to about 15K AUD, which was verified by Card Letter. So if you're not familiar with what the Bang Man is and what their product is offering, it's basically an assortment of hobby packets put into a box. At an affordable buy-in, you can then open a variety of different hobby packs. Some of the advantages of buying into a product such as this is that you can sample a whole bunch of different products. Another way to think of it is doing your own break at home. The advantage of the Bang Man's product is you are purchasing sealed, unsearched hobby packs as opposed to a single card repack product that has a huge range in value. Just to make the clear delineation between the Bang Man's product and any traditional repack, when you buy into a Bang Man product, you are getting the guarantee of the Panini seal, and then all of the hits then come out of sealed products. So all the numbered cards, if appropriate for the product, rookie patch autographs, signature cards, and of course those super short prints and case hits. Another key point for the Bang Man product is that they have an assortment of different hobby packs in a custom box at two different price points, one being a gold edition and the other being a silver edition. Each month, the Bang Man changes up the pack so it's not the same constant lineup. For listeners of our podcast, we have an exclusive deal for you. Use promo code YouCan'tCompThis to get a $15 discount off your next purchase. Find the Bang Man on Instagram, the.bang.man, and on Facebook, The Bang Man. Thank you so much, Amir and Team Bang Man.
You throw the farm at it, don't you?
Yeah, I think Luka would have to bloody burn it down before they trade him, I think. And like, to trade
if Luka
away
goes
Luka,
and pulls a James Harden and just goes, I'm not coming in anymore.
I agree, Carl. I don't see any scenario that Luka gets traded. It's just,
If you were the general manager, you trade a Luka, that's on your name for the rest of your life. Yeah, that's on your resume.
Yeah, it'd be cooked.
Yeah. You just can't do it on talent alone, no matter how much of a whinger bloody Doncic can be.
True.
You just put up with the whinging with the talent that he's got. That's
you
like
have to, right?
The price of doing business.
Yeah.
So going to that list 20 to 11, who do you think should be there and who do you think shouldn't be there? So for me,
Triple J.
I'm like, I can't believe that guy is that high.
Yeah, I agree.
We're talking about Bam being a guy that doesn't want to score. Well,
he had a very poor Team USA outing too.
Yeah.
It was poor.
Woeful.
Yeah. Defensive player, you know, that sort of thing raised him up. But well, I'm quite amazed he got that high too. I think
that's the only one of concern to me. I think the other one of concern is LaMelo Ball. I think he's got a high ceiling, but I just don't know if he's really going to get the opportunity to shine in Charlotte. I feel sorry for the Hornets.
Lucky Aiden isn't here.
He can't say anything.
Yeah, I think he might be a little bit too high, but not. He's not majorly higher than what I thought he could be. Like, he's still got all the off.
I think if he has a good season, he doesn't move. But if he has a slightly not good season, he tanks. Like, he drops down the list. Yeah, I think he's fragile. I think he's fragile. Yeah. He's got to put his money where his mouth is. He's in the same draft class as, was it Edwards?
Yeah. So they've been in there up 4 years now. So yeah, it's getting close to that time.
Anthony Edwards is like, everyone's like, this is the year. This is, he's going to explode. And LaMelo's like, do something, kid. Just do something, please.
I just feel that when that draft class came out, Wiseman didn't get a lot of hobby love, and the popularity of LaMelo off the court with social media really drove his popularity with hobby wise. And I think the way that he had that sort of flashy passes and, you know, the highlight plays that he made, I think that really influenced his hobby value. And now my sort of gut feeling, obviously, like, we've come off this, you know, massive sort of downturn in the hobby, but is LaMelo Ball just going to be consistently going down the next couple of years? Let's just say he goes down 3% per year the next, say, 5 years.
I can easily see that, just because of how high he was, and just the team, like the team fit thing again. Like, Charlotte's just in a bad place.
They're just not going to have the results to keep him relevant at the same level year after year. He's just going to, there'll be a new class, a new class, a new class, and then you go, geez, it was 6 years ago that LaMelo was a rookie. Yeah. What's he up to these days? Yeah, it'll be there.
My sort of two lasting takeaways from LaMelo is that I didn't really understand the hype at the time. Like, I was fine that people were excited. Like, I get all that. Like, I'm not having to go at people, but I didn't really understand the prices for the player. That's one part of it. The second part that I wanted to add to this, though, is that when he did make the All-Star team, and he played with basically like the best five, he was amazing, and everything worked, and he was just in the right places at the right time, and he was setting people up, and he knows how to run a ball club. So I think, taking what Paris is saying, if he does get moved to the right situation and he's like the Aaron Gordon of the Denver Nuggets, where he's the third best player,
yeah, you
know, he'll win a championship. Like, there's no sort of arguments about that. But I think LaMelo Ball right now is probably the 17th hottest player in the NBA. But, you know, in a couple of years' time, I'd be very concerned about that.
I'd be in a few months' time. There's a chance that Charlotte's got that much bad press around, and like, they're just going to be that bad this year.
I don't know. He's a good player. I mean, I think he was a bit artificially high because of all the other stuff that was surrounding him, you know. Ball, he's got his brothers there, his dad's famous for being in, you know, what,
saying hype guy,
beat Jordan, or, you know, this is just all the dumb stuff that goes around I think he's probably gonna end up in that sort of maybe like Dame range at 30, where he's a good player, everyone knows he's a good player, but hasn't really done a whole lot. But he's reliable and he's a constant performer, you know, all that sort of stuff, you know. But I don't think he's going to set the world on fire.
He'll make the All-Star team, and then all of a sudden he'll throw a couple of flashy passes on All-Star weekend, and there'll a couple of highlight reel things happen. He'll be in plays of the week. But if he doesn't succeed and he stays sort of, he'll be, he's,
I just don't see
under the radar.
A world where LaMelo Chase rookie cards are going to be competing with the other top guy rookie cards, you know, for consistently.
Well, I reckon there are players in that 30 to 20 range that have the potential to overtake LaMelo in the spotlight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I was going to put 100, I'd put it into Banchero, Halliburton, or Chet miles before I'd put it into LaMelo at the current returns.
You know? Yeah. So if you take that point, so a Halliburton at the moment is sitting around the $300 mark. LaMelo Ball's currently sitting at 500. Now, if you want a horror story about collecting basketball cards, so the peak, the all-time high for LaMelo Ball is 6,500. It's currently trading at 512. Like, it's just, you know.
At least it's not Mac Jones in the NFL.
It's sort of Zion numbers.
Do you guys know the Mac Jones one?
Yeah.
I know nothing about NFL at all. I just saw that it was like the biggest decrease in card trading.
It's like 98% drop. It was like 10 grand to 10. It was like 10 grand to 10 bucks. It was that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like went from Zion levels to Anthony Bennett overnight.
Yes.
Yeah.
That. It's bad.
Pretty bad.
Really bad.
What was the percentage?
Speaking of which, I've got a present for someone.
Because this is minus 92% here. What did you say?
That Mac one? Jones.
Yeah.
Oh, it was like 98% or something.
Oh, right. Okay. So we've still got 6% more to go over here.
Yeah.
In that case, it's going to be there pretty soon, I reckon.
I just wanted to say in a positive note of who's in this top 10, Jamal.
Oh, yeah, sorry. We're just like crapping all over these guys.
That's all right.
Yeah, number I'm surprised 11, at Jamal Murray.
I'm proud of this. I feel like this is that we're basketball savants and we appreciate, you know, good basketball players.
I was surprised. That's how
I feel about that.
I thought the same thing. That's good. That's a good spot.
I think Jamal Murray is a really
Is he the best buy? If you're just purely on buying it, is he the best buy in the NBA? Like coming in at 11 on our list. Like, is he the best buy? His pop counts won't be that high. What was he, 16, 17? 15, 16.
Off the top of my head, I still think it's Edwards. I'm going to stick with that. But let me look at some numbers and I'll get back to you. But the only thing
count is, of 195 is a silver prism.
I think his stuff is actually sells for a lot higher than what you'd 16, expect.
17.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that's part
last
of it.
Last sold silver prism, $260.
Oh, okay.
Won a championship, second best player on a championship team. If he'll play for Canada next year at the Olympics too.
So cheaper than Halliburton, cheaper than LaMelo Ball, cheaper than Edwards.
Pop count's going to be way lower than all those guys.
Mm. Do you remember how when he was injured, he just plateaued and didn't tank?
Yeah, but he was out for a whole year. But man, 50-point games in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Clutch performance.
His all-time high is in that crazy period is around 1,500 US, 1,600 US. But he kept hovering around the 150 to 200 mark for such a long time.
But he hasn't been an all-star. He's had some pretty average regular seasons, right? But come playoff time, he's a dude that steps up.
Yep, true.
Cheaper than Trae Young at the moment too.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he's a champion.
Okay, look, maybe
through the playoffs he peaked at 500.
Yeah. I think you're onto something here, Carl.
Well, just coming out of 11, I was like, wow, that stood out to me.
Mm.
And I thought the guy in front of him, Anthony Davis, would have been lower. Just there's a lot of hate even from Lakers fans on Davis, you know, how skilled he is. It's just
he's a tough one to rate, though, you know?
Yeah.
He is. Because you don't know when the Lakers are going to get fed up and just trade him. No, that's not going to happen. You'll just be injured and won't play a game for 2 years.
Mm. And then but LeBron says he's the face of the franchise. So it's pretty interesting.
He kind
of
has to. But I mean, I think, you know, when Barkley called him street clothes, I think that just stuck with him, you know, for two.
What was it? Bill Simmons called him Anthony Every Other Davis.
That's a good one, too. Love that nickname.
When we say Data Davis.
Data Davis. Yeah. Those two guys, they're interesting picks.
He does remind me a lot of Dwight Howard, you know, to be honest, a little bit.
Like peak
love
Dwight.
Him or hate him sort of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the accolades that Dwight Howard's got. I mean, pretty amazing. But he was kind of quite maligned as well, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah, Mike once Davis, once he left Orlando, he was Anthony Davis has always been injury prone.
Mm. Yeah.
I find it interesting that KD is 12 and not above, say, an AD. Like Murray may be warranted. Yeah, mate.
It's not a heap of love for Kevin Durant in the hobby world, though.
True. But that's of his own doing, right? That's his image.
The Warriors thing.
The bandwagon jumping. Yeah.
Yep. Always goes back to that.
Yeah. Made his own cupcakes. He can eat them.
It's quite funny because like then you got Jimmy at 9, who I love Jimmy Butler, but he's forced his way out of teams.
What about unlucky number 13, Jason Tatum?
Championship.
I thought Jaylen Brown was quite high too, actually.
I've always had them very close, those two. But yeah, you're right. Tatum's the face of the franchise, but Brown keeps putting in a case for being potentially the best player on that team.
If he could just go left, I think, right?
Yeah.
It's the problem.
I want to go on record here to say that I didn't have Jimmy Butler rated this high. So I think you other two lads must have had Jimmy Butler like 100 on everything, to be honest.
I definitely did. I was riding that Miami run.
He gave him that fucking Cade Cunningham stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. I love Jimmy Butler, man. Like if he was on the Pistons.
Yeah, that shows.
I just love characters in the game. I love it.
This is the problem with the small sample size, right? Like, you know,
yeah, true.
Everything statistically significant.
What did you think of his emo haircut?
Yeah, I love everything he does, man.
I think Carl's right. You need those people in the league.
You look like one of the guys from Outcast.
Andre 3000.
That's the one.
I was waiting for him to just break into song.
AR video. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Jimmy Butler, man. If he took out the championship last year, to me, that was the best individual performance.
Like God status.
Through a playoff.
Yeah.
Anyone, ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. If you objectively look at this list, though, who would you put ahead of him now that we've done these rankings?
Jason Tatum.
Austin Reeves.
I mean, KD should be in front of him, really.
Yeah, okay, cool. So you're not like 100% like blind about this. Yeah.
I just love Jimmy Butler.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. I think the not winning the chip is sort of relevant. Mm. Like it would have, I think that bumps him up quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like if you put, for me, if you had Butler at 14 and then that, and then Giddy was below Butler, and then Embiid was higher than Butler, I'd be fine with that. And the rest of the list, you know, sort of here and there. That's sort of like where, like, I'm not offended that Butler's at 9, but maybe he's just a couple of spots sort of too high. But
yeah.
Do you know, I was just thinking about Jamal Murray. Maybe the other reason why he's so low, though, is because he's the ultimate number two. Because
he's Robin. He's Robin.
Yeah.
And that does affect your hobby value.
Well, what? So who do you comp him against then? The ultimate number two would be Scotty, right?
God is the ultimate number two.
Yeah.
On this list, the other number two that's easy for me to identify is Domantas Sabonis.
Mm.
Porzingis is a number three.
Anthony Davis.
Yep.
Not according to LeBron.
Yeah, no.
Desmond Bane's a number two on this list. Jaden Ivey's a number two.
The only person that's 5'1" is really Trae Young, I reckon. He's number one at all the spots, really. He's going to have to be.
He's going to have to be if Atlanta are going to be successful.
Mm.
I think Dwayne Wade has a sort of case for the ultimate number two, but he at times he was the number one as well. So.
But that's what being the ultimate number two is, right? When the number one needs a chop out, you can step up.
Yeah, because he was the number one, but he was so young when they won that first championship when Shaq came over.
Mm.
Yeah, but, you know, he was Shaquille definitely O'Neal. Number two.
Shaq's the ultimate that's number two. Yeah.
That's questionable.
Such a good number two that he was winning finals MVPs instead of the
so selfless.
So I've done my 1 to 10 breakdown already. So I think I should leave the floor to you three gentlemen, to be honest.
I reckon, well, we sort of need to wrap it up soon.
We're nearly bordering on 2 hours.
Adam's gonna come in firing with his Luka Doncic hot take. Let's go, Adam. What do you got?
No, I just think this is the year to Luka. Just everyone that bought the, how many are we up to? 20,000 Lukas yet? Same problem as the Zion hype. I think it's a slower burn on the steaming pile that is Zion. And I think Luka's going to, courtesy of Kyrie Irving, have a terrible season with them. I think the Mavericks are going to suffer. I think they're really struggling to put people around Luka. And this might be the year that the Mavericks just don't, that aren't, they're not in it.
I think that hurts Luka. I don't think it's going to matter. No, I don't think it will, because I think even if the Mavericks do suck, Luka's still going to get stats and people will still like him.
Does he win the MVP?
Nah, his team's not going to be good enough.
I think he's got a little bit of a different measuring stick, to be honest, on just where he's placed in the hobby.
How do you value Luka? So my biggest concerns are pop count, obviously.
Yeah.
Lack of like any substance to him aside from the fact that he's Luka and he leads his country on one, like he's the only standout player for his country. So he draws that extra attention on the international stage. And he's more of a fun guy than Kawhi. Like he actually like.
Well, I think the NBA will push him.
Yeah.
That'll be a big part of it.
But for how long? Surely there comes a time where they pull the pin.
I think his team is bad enough that people will just blame the rest of the roster and the coach too.
Okay.
That they won't take. Like Luka's going to be the last person to blame about everything around him and the team, right?
I just, right. guys, we need to temper this conversation. Like, you need to understand Adam's like one-eyed like bias here. So, look, if you showed
showed a game of basketball,
I just think he's somebody, overrated.
No, but if you showed a game of basketball to someone who'd never seen basketball before, and you said on the Dallas Mavericks, who is the best player? Every single person would say it's Luka Doncic. Like, his ball handling, his shooting, his composure, his vision across the court.
What does Adam say?
Who are the Dallas?
It's Christian
Mavericks?
Wood, who's got the Lakers.
Christian Wood, yeah.
No, but like, and that that does feed into
Kyrie Irving.
I normally go, isn't the coach? Did the coach used to play for them?
Yeah.
He's going to turn that franchise around 360 degrees. Best rookie comment ever.
One thing I will agree with Adam on here is that it's really hard to build around Luka. I think that's the common theme that's coming out here.
He takes up a lot of space.
Whether that is a personality thing, like, I think that whole thing with Paul Zingas, the reporting on that wasn't, as far as I'm concerned, wasn't good enough. There was like a real rift between those two.
Mm. Yeah.
And whether it was like a cultural thing that they couldn't resolve it between the Latvian and the, you know,
Slovenian.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a real thing. And
sure.
So, God, it's that whole Vlade Drazen Petrovic
drama
all over again.
It totally is, right? And like, that does matter when you're trying to build an NBA team. And so now, what's the front court that the Mavs are now left with? Grant Williams and like a couple of rookies. Like, that's nightmare stuff. So,
who do you blame, right? I think, is it like, is Luka so shitty and acts like a diva because of what the management have put around him, or is it the players are reacting because of how Luka is? Like, where's the cause here?
There's got to be a bit of both. There has to be.
Yeah.
They should just sign as much as that of that Slovenian team as they possibly can to contracts, get their coach over.
Yeah.
Get rid and just run the Slovenian team and the thing. It could even work.
It actually might, yeah.
It
would be funny.
Because they're used to playing with them, right?
Yeah, but their team building's been really bad. It's been really bad. So I think until he's actually gets the right fit of players around him, then you can go, okay, you're still not performing, Luka. Now it's on you.
Mm. And like Mark Cuban either.
And I don't want to kind of soften my blow a little bit, but like I don't really have anything against him. I just don't think he's earned the level that the pedestal everyone's put him on. There's no MVPs. He hasn't done enough to warrant it. Like, you look at other players in this list at this end of the, like, Edwards, all right, fine. But we go the rest of the top five. LeBron James, enough said. Right?
Jokic. Yeah.
Steph Curry, Jokic. I think Jokic, as far as like what he's done in the game.
We got the top four right, lads. I'll definitely say that.
Giannis is literally a freak of nature. And Steph Curry transformed the game. Like, we talked about it on the show when we were talking about that triple logo man. And so I don't like the Luka on there, and I make jokes about it, but Steph warranted. Accolades, achievements. Giannis, warranted accolades, achievements. They've both been to the mountain and won. Mm. And what's Luka done? Watch them win. Like, he hasn't done enough to warrant being there.
I get you, Adam.
And until he starts getting those results, and hell, if the Dallas Mavericks are going to suck this year, go for the MVP. Get your personal accolade. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think they're going to be too bad that he's not even in consideration.
Kyrie is going to flatten him like he did the Earth.
The Mavericks aren't making the playoffs. There's too many good teams.
Went from being in prime position to make the playoffs, acquired Kyrie Irving, and managed to manufacture getting out of the playoffs.
I tell you, Luka, if someone's going to drop, it's going to be him in that top five, right?
And I don't want him to. But the other factors are, there's a gazillion of his base card in PSA 10. Like, the pop counts are insane. He came from that crazy year where there was just too many cards. Mm.
I think the thing is, like, the NBA always wants a great white hope guy. But the fact of the matter is, it's actually Jokic. Yep. They really want it to be Luka.
And last season, it was proven it was Jokic.
It's actually Jokic. For the fans, you know, they know. But for the, you know, the mindless watchers, they really want it to be Luka.
But you look at the Instagram and like the reels and the clips and stuff, and you see Jokic playing around. Like he's actually a character.
Hey, Jokic, we've got this big promo lined up for you in the offseason. Can you just shoot down I'm just watching some horse racing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You heard all those interviews.
That's his appeal, though, finals. To me. That's why I like him, because he...
Do you like his draft footage where he's at the bottom of the ticker? They're showing a commercial.
He shows an element of disinterest and disdain.
Yeah, definitely.
For the crap that goes along with it. He's all business.
Yeah.
You know, and then he goes home.
Yeah. Goes to work and he does his job so well.
Yeah. I don't think really anyone, you know, is as well-rounded as he is.
Mm.
And he doesn't buy into any of the off-court crap at all. He's absolutely not interested. And that's
the
reason
Embiid won the MVP last year, because they didn't want to give him another one.
Yeah, and he wouldn't even care.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, which is quite tough from, you know, you can see it in like other things, like with UFC and things like that, where they've got a champion that is basically unmarketable, you know, and they're, because they're boring or they've got no edge or anything like that. And that's just the worst thing for that division, because they can't sell pay-per-views because there's no casual fan interest, even though they may be one of the best technical fighters in the world. It's just like, as he said, I don't see him in my social reel. He's not talking any crap. There's no hype. There's no none of that. And Jokic is absolutely zero hype. He's all killer, no filler.
Yeah.
You know, and I just don't think they know what to do with him.
So question there, right? So you go back a few seasons and we'll jump in this time machine. Is Kawhi Leonard up near the top of the list, but he's just unlovable in the hobby because he's just that boring?
He's mostly well known for that dumb laugh, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, when he was in Toronto.
I mean, that's what it's most of the kids had known for. It's certainly not highlights.
But he's fundamentally an amazing basketballer.
Mm. Yeah.
And he's like finals MVPs, championships, but just not marketable.
Yeah, and the whole wrist thing, all the wrestling gets blamed on him with
look, there's a soft tissue injuries and the management there. I think he's still in the background sort of blames San Antonio, like the training staff for screwing up his soft tissue stuff.
Yeah, he has to take some of that on. Like,
yeah, he's got to,
I'm not suiting up for the second half of the game. It's like,
grow up. You're a professional athlete. You need to manage this.
Yeah, well, what did Sabonis play through all last season? He played through with did he had a broken bone in his toe or something the whole season?
But that could be the Jokic factor. Like Kawhi is just like, no, this is my job, not my life.
Yeah.
And he's good at his job, but he's not going to wreck himself, his personal life for it.
Yeah. But Jokic turns up no matter what, puts on that.
And then Murray shows up and they win chip.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has more than zero people helping him and the Nuggets are scary.
Sure. Now that's awesome, lads. I think we wrapped that up there. And,
I mean, the top three are pretty obvious, I guess.
Yeah.
But Steph Curry at number one. Let's give him some love.
See, that's the thing. He doesn't do anything for me. It's like, okay, here's a good question. If you had $100 to invest in three players in the top 10, who would you pick and how would you split it? Purely from ROI at the season's end. Whatever.
To make money?
To make money.
To make money. Ooh. I'd pick LeBron. Steph.
$100 on each?
And I'd take...
No, $100 total. So how are you going to cut it amongst three?
Yeah, LeBron,
Steph. I mean, it's just fictitious. Could be 1,000, could be 10,000, whatever. Just how are you going to allocate X?
And I'd take a punt on Edwards.
So what did you say? LeBron, Curry, LeBron's, Edwards.
Yeah, LeBron, you can't go wrong.
Hmm.
Same with Steph. He's like...
But has he got the trajectory? Still,
he's got
everything. Steph's got the 20-year trajectory, I reckon. I think when in 20 years, if we did an all-time of this, Steph's in the top 10 still.
Yeah. to me, because I remember talking about Hall of Fames, who should be in the Hall of Fame, who shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
You turn this top 10 into an all-time, and I go, LeBron's still there, Curry's still there, Giannis is probably there, Kobe and MJ are there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
he's going to be there. He plays such an important part of the story of basketball.
And I think he's part of that narrative. Game.
Yeah. I have to, even though he's pretty boring off the court, he's, you know, a goody two shoes type guy, man, what he revolutionized the game in a way.
And he's very lovable too. Like,
so would you split it evenly, Carl?
Between Curry, LeBron. Yeah. I'd
spend half of it on a Curry, and the other two, I'd go stuff it and get a Booker Booker or SGA, and Edwards is the other one. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd take a punt and then go on that.
Yeah. But I think Curry's my safe money, so I'll just put half of it in.
Yeah. Curry's safe as.
My answer is
talking about for one season.
Oh, for one season.
Yeah. Oh, well, then we're not investing that. Then we're going to go Giannis instead.
I'll go
Edwards. These are some weird takes, basically, all time, looking 20 years. I was like, no, need like end of the season. Yeah.
So if it's just one season, the answer is easy. Just all in on Edwards. And you're either going to lose, win the lot or lose the lot, you know?
The rules of the game, Russell, you got to pick three.
You can do 98
bucks one and one. dollar.
Yeah, 98 on Edwards, $1 on SGA.
I'm going 50 on Giannis. 30 on Booker and 20 on Edwards.
But all time, I would just go to LeBron, because I think if you had a LeBron autograph or a LeBron patch that's game worn, I think that's just something you put into your vault and never comes out, you know?
So. If Phoenix win the chip, what does Booker do?
His prices go up. That's for sure.
Probably check it, probably.
If Booker, yeah. And it depends on what sort of role. Like, is it KD?
Is he winning the finals MVP or is KD? That's the question.
Yeah. Yeah, so how much of an impact does he make?
So Booker's at 1,350 at the moment. All-time high of 7,055. Pre-pandemic, he was sitting around the 480 mark. I don't know. I don't have the stomach for that type of...
I like Edwards because he's the main guy, right? And Booker's got KD and Beal there. So, Paris, what would you do?
Jokic.
If it's the 1 year,
if it's 1 year, I'd put the money on Denver to repeat potentially. So I'd probably go Jokic, Giannis, because I think they will have a lot of highlight plays with Dame.
Yeah.
So I think there'll probably be a lot of interest, and they could go quite deep. And I like Anthony Edwards, but I think SGA probably, just because I think that team's going to be fun to watch, and they'll probably
make the playoffs,
be a bit more on the map. Yeah.
He's a great player. The playoffs, this young core, for that to happen, like for crew.
Yeah, I think they do.
I'd say so.
They need to surprise the fans, kind of thing. Yeah. Surprise the not fans, I guess.
Yeah, they just need to get on a few more radars. But I mean, you know, SGA is an awesome player. You know, I think they've suffered from that. You know, we're trash for quite a while. What the hell are they doing? And now it's like, so that's what they're up to. And now they've got a ton of good people, and they're nipping at the heels of, you know, good teams as well, and have a pretty solid core for the next while. So I think this could be a good year for them.
Yeah, sure. Russ, any parting words before we sign off here?
I think 2 hours of me talking's enough, man. That's my closing words.
Yeah, fair enough.
You've had enough of me.
Yeah, when it's us, we always go long. That's just how we roll. And we could have gone longer, Adam. You missed out on the whole 2 hours. So
he's just picking up steam at the moment.
Yeah,
he's
I'm getting questions. Ready for the next hour. What's going on? Why are we wrapping up? Yeah. I'll be on time for the next one, I promise.
All good, mate. I appreciate you guys coming on. And,
it's great. Thanks
for having us. It's great. It's a lot of fun, and I'm glad I got to spread the Luca hate. I mean, give some thoughts.
It comes from a pure place. That's the main thing.
Yeah. It's all. And we'll come from the heart. We love you, Luca.
And we'll keep these rankings going up and every month of the season. So it'll be we'll probably go back to this little podcast and see what we see.
Yeah.
See, you know, oh, shit, we got that one wrong. Or
I'll be listening to this on double speed at least. There's no way I'm sitting through 2 hours of this, man.
I've got a long train ride, so.
There you go. Now, thanks for that, boys.
Thanks, legends.
Sign off there and, and we'll catch up soon.
Right, good night, boys.
Thanks, guys.
Later, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, lads.